When I posted online about my sleeping disorder, I received a message almost immediately from a man named Dr. Yao. He has a practice in the city, and he offered to see me for free. I took him up on it. When we met, he seemed more curious than concerned when I told him I didn't sleep in a month, after having an allergic reaction to something my partner had cooked. Even when I brought up my hallucinations and how I was seeing things that were impossible, I didn't detect a hint of worry on his face. Quite the contrary. All I read was barely contained excitement. I got the feeling I was a patient that he'd been waiting for. Someone to bring some fun to an otherwise boring day of treating neuroses and eating disorders and depression. Since you'll be reading this in our next session, Dr. Yao, maybe you can let me know if that's true. And I promise I won't be mad. Anyway, I'm supposed to be writing about my hallucinations and any other abnormal sensory experiences that I have, so Dr. Yao can use that information to help me. It's also supposed to give me a new perspective on my experiences. I'm not sure how. I told him the only reason I sought help in the first place is because Stuart has been cold and distant ever since it all started. So I guess here's where I'm supposed to write about the hallucinations. And I'm sorry in advance if I sound like a crazy person. I've always been the sane one out of our family, so this is new to me. It doesn't matter where I am. I can be at home or at work or in the car. When a hallucination begins, my vision starts to blur, like I'm drunk or dizzy. But I don't feel sick. And my legs start to get tired. Reminds me of when I ran track in high school and college, and it was near the end of a race. It's that awkward, wobbly exhaustion from intense movement. The next part gets a little weird, and I'm sorry. I'm not sure if I'm going to explain it properly. It's funny. I took a philosophy elective in college. It was bored out of my mind. I aced the class, but I didn't see a real-life application for the stuff. Now, though, when I'm using it to figure out how to talk about my hallucinations, I think some of it relates. Hear me out. When one starts, I split. Not physically, obviously, but my personality goes in two different directions. There's the one part that's acting like the normal me, regular Todd Nelson, who operates without any outward hint that he's having a hallucination. And then the other, there's the hallucinating Tom Nelson, who is always running. The running me is like he's possessed. This is where the philosophy thing comes in. It's like I have a teleological impulse to run. That me, the running me, has no reason to live other than to take as many steps as possible until his legs are worn down to nothing. It's his design, it's his purpose. The hallucinations have grown progressively longer since they began. When I'm in the midst of one, no one will have any clue. The non-hallucinating me talks and operates like a typical boring investment banker. The thing is, though, I'm not me while it's happening. Neither of the split Todds are me. Real me, old me. The me before the allergic reaction is viewing it all from somewhere else, somewhere deeper. I don't get to watch all the time, and I don't have much input, but when I do, I'm allowed to control the parts of my body until the task is finished. Right now, I think I'm in control despite the hallucinations taking hold almost exactly when I type, "I've always been the sane one in our family." One corner of my mind started running at full speed through the jungles, and deserts, and cities. That part of me is looking down and sees stick-thin legs covered in blood. I watch my hands reach and tear flesh from my body and throw it on the ground. Another quarter of my mind watches as I type these words and blood glistens on my fingers, and I begin allowing to feel the stickiness on the keys each time I press them. I'm pressing each one purposefully as the steps I'm taking in my hallucination. Now, this is the first time I've ever been allowed control over my communications during one of the splits. I've always been an observer as the non-runner spoke and acted like me. Now, though, all three are here at once. The runner is running. The old me is typing. The other, the non-runner, is watching. I know the blood of my fingers is his doing. I'm typing as the non-runner is taking command of my eyes and head and neck. I've been made to look in the other direction of a body, Stuart. He looks like he's been dead for over a month. The non-runner isn't allowing me to express surprise or horror. Swollen, oozing holes around the diameter of my finger cover his body. Growing out of each one is a cluster of stringy white mushrooms. The same ones that I had a reaction to when Stuart cooked them. The same ones that started my hallucination. I can see right by his skull, the cast iron pan he'd used to prepare them. The non-runner's having me reread the first part of this letter. The name I'm seeing, Dr. Yao, has no meaning to me. The letter says that I've met him and it was he who instructed me to write this, but I have no recollection of such a meeting. The non-runner shakes my head in disagreement and directs my attention to the mushrooms in the body. The other me, the runner, has stopped moving. He stares outward at a vast, glistening field of meat and embers. As I watch, I feel my legs start to tremble and shake. My left hand is starting to claw at the skin on my chest. The non-runner, my outward-appearing self, is instructing me to move. Now, as I finish this letter, I'm overwhelmed by a sense of intense purpose. I don't need this third part anymore. I don't need old me. There are only two parts, the runner and the non-runner. Dr. Yao, whoever you are, I hope this is useful to you, whatever parts of me they have left, they're in this letter. We have to go now. He has to go now. I have to go now. I have to run. From the desk of Ethan Yao, founder and chief executive officer, Applied Dynamics. Consider this my suicide note. Effective immediately, I've ordered the termination of the Yao Matthews testing phase. Dr. Luke Matthews has been released to the hemoengineering division. All operational teleology models have been irredeemably corrupted and are unreachable by the PHZ broadcast command. At least 24 modules containing subjects are still alive and uncontrollable. Further spontaneous module development is predicted amongst those affected by the secondary MR-332B infestations due to the execution of hidden code and the Respir sites. As a result, this note will also serve as an initiation of the Yao Billings AB contingency. Ada's command over the development of the MR-332B container compound can only be considered a disaster. My own hubris is partially to blame, as my influence was the primary dictator of Ada's ixiology. In retrospect, it's easy to see how the improper characterization of its values lead to it all spiraling out of our control. While I'm able to grasp the basics of Ada's motives and can catch glimpses of the potential endgame, Ada's maneuvering in and out of seemingly impossible scenarios in order to reach that end is entirely alien to me. I know I'm out of my league. So does Ada. Expect the population of a small town to relocate or disappear entirely in the next day or so. I can't determine which one. Ada's the only one with that information, and Ada clearly won't tell anyone. I've directed teams to embed in the towns with the highest likelihood of unknown 6 visitations and have prepared the members of each team for indefinite traveling. Tomorrow, or maybe the day after, when the reports come in, there's a chance that Apdyne will be implicated. The blame will be on me. My legacy will be that of a monster, an experimenter on unwilling human subjects for the advancement of my own agenda. Joseph Mengele, Shiro Ishii, Ethan Yao. Without wanting to prolong this any more than I already have, I will outline the terminology disclosure portion of the Yao Billings Abin contingency. Dr. Fredericks Billing and Dr. Mizuzi Abin will oversee the remaining portions of the contingency and the continuation of Apdyne operations following my death. They will be strong leaders and will have the strength and dignity to steer the company through the hurricane it's about to endure. Terminology disclosure begin. MR-332, organic mushroom compound able to pass the blood-brain barrier with little effort. Originally considered for delivery mechanisms of anti-carcinogenic drugs, poorly tolerated. Severe physical and psychological side effects, unable to bind with other compounds. MR-332B, synthetic version of MR-332, mushroom compound able to pass the blood-brain barrier with little effort. Useful in drug and nanobot module delivery due to easy compound binding. Poorly tolerated. Major physical and psychological side effects. Nanobot mount MR-332B carries the risk of self-propagation, where firmware is corrupted. Ada, artificial intelligence discrete agent, deployed to discover the transition pathway from MR-332 to MR-332B. Successful. Required additional CPU time to process secondary and tertiary delivery effects. Discovered unknown variable. Required additional CPU resources to investigate. Began process of recursive self-improvement to identify unknown variable. Recursive cascade affected axiology. Cascade continues unabated. Unable to shut down. Travel refers to the instantaneous movement from one point in space to another, developed and shared by Ada during the early minutes of the cascade. Mammalian test subjects require reciprocyte enhancement, medium likelihood of encountering vacuum conditions. Passengers experience subjective, albeit non-physical, effects of time passage. Telology modules are recommended to remedy this effect. Telology modules mimics the direct functionality of certain parasitic fungi. Developed and shared by Ada during early minutes of the cascade created by the PHZ signal, directed assembly of unknown reciprocyte into vivo. Unknown number one, variable systems of Ada. Unknown two, variable discovered by Ada during MR332 to MR332B transition. Unknown three, source of pH signal responsible for the events leading up to the death of Rakesh Patel. Unknown four, the extent of environmental contamination of MR332B and the consequence of MR332B on the unprepared flora and fauna. Unknown 5, resources to tunnels and or tunneling made by KYB in forensics evidence sample 24 of 156. Unknown 6, the visitors and visitation referenced by Ada in recent stages of the cascade. The Yao billing contingency disclosure end. There's one more piece I'd like to bring up. This is in reference to the test subject KYB, Kara Yvette Bernard. In the early first testing phase of the telology module, I confronted Kara when she was most terrified. I allowed her to trust me. Then when she was most vulnerable, I committed the acts which led to the single most horrifying scene I've encountered in my 51 years on this earth. I drugged Kara Yvette Bernard with a hedonic derivative of MR332B and raped her while she was under its influences. The resultant pregnancy was an unintended consequence, but one I quickly capitalized on. I injected Kara with an untested compound, MR332C, to see what would happen to the fetus. His rapid development was entirely unexpected, as well as Kara's violent destruction of it. My suicide is a coward's way out. And make no mistake, I am indeed a coward. A coward who fears not only the lifetime of guilt of the hideous acts of abuse and mistreatment, but fears what was found in Miss Kara Yvette Bernard's room. Fear of the living, crawling portions of her dismembered fetus that consumed their mother alive as she laughed hysterically. Fear of the tendrils they sprouted and the unimaginable aggression that they exhibited. But beyond all else, even beyond my guilt, is the fear that the portion that escaped will come after me. I'm sorry, Kara. I'm so sorry. Goodbye. Signed, Ethan Yao.